This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
It's the girls in the studio today.
Woo!
And what will we be talking about? Well, in the hour, Frida will be telling you how to deliver bad news in a positive way. Maybe, you know, at the end of that conversation, you'll be able to fire someone and have them leave the office with a smile on their face. Fingers crossed. Then Christine will be telling you why your employees cut corners. She'll be giving you the reasons for that. And then at the end of the show, I will be telling you how you can get your own extraction buzzer. All that's coming up, but our main topic for today is about millennial marketing gimmicks.
Yep.
Christine, take it away.
So first of all, guys, we're asking you, do millennial marketing gimmicks appeal to you, or do you find them annoying or insulting? And the reason why we're asking that question today is because I stumbled across something that made me very angry. So Hasbro, the toy and board game company, are famous for a lot of products, and one of their most famous products is the board game Monopoly. And Monopoly is basically the game all about capitalism, where you buy and sell and auction off property. And it, you know, has a reputation of kind of tearing families and friends apart, and it's really fun. However, there are also a lot of different versions of Monopoly as well that have been out there in the world. There's a version of Monopoly where you use cards instead of cash, for example. You know, there's a Monopoly for teens and kids so that they can understand, you know, finance a little bit more. But now Hasbro has decided to release Monopoly for Millennials, which is a thing. And it's complete with a tagline that reads, "Forget real estate, you can't afford it anyway." Just to, like, rub the salt in the wound. Now, the game itself promises to be even more divisive than your classic Monopoly edition. And they say that money doesn't always buy a great time, but experiences, whether they're good or weird, last forever. And the reason why they bring up experiences is because instead of property, because apparently millennials can't afford any of that, you buy experiences in Monopoly for millennials. Because, like, what millennial can afford to buy houses when they're too busy spending their money on avocado toast? Am I right? So yeah, you buy experiences like going to a vegan bistro or crashing on your friend's couch or a week-long meditation retreat. Every single millennial stereotype is in there. And even the box says, "Adulting is hard. Take a break from the rat race with this edition of the Monopoly game." It even asks the person, the player with the most student loan debt, to roll first.
Oh.
That is how they determine the rolling order, is you are actually required to work through your financial demons out loud with your friends before you even play the game in the first place. And also it does things like, it includes chance and community chess cards, which they call super relatable. Like free internships and a get into jail free card, as opposed to the get out of jail free card, because the jail is the only space in the board where a player doesn't lose money.
Oh, okay.
They've also replaced some of the iconic tokens, like the thimble and the car and such, with a hashtag, a smiley face emoji, and a smartphone, so that you know that this board game was created by a fellow kid, apparently. And so that's what kind of brought me onto this topic of, you know, there are lots of products that are out there by these companies that are trying so hard to appeal or, like, be relatable to, like, the millennial or the Gen Z generation.
So just before we get into this, Frida, would you want to play Monopoly for Millennials?
I probably won't. I probably won't. Monopoly is such an institution, the game, right? If they had come up with another game, with it being, like, flimsy in this way, give it a different name, that might work.
Like, I wouldn't know what is more valuable, like spending, you know, a weekend on your friend's couch or going to a vegan bistro. Like, if you compare those, I wouldn't know what is more valuable, what I would want to spend my money on. Know what kind of experiences I want to spend my money on. So it doesn't relate to me.
They stop short of using cryptocurrency.
But see, this is the thing, right, as well, because the whole point of Monopoly is that it's supposed to be a game about kind of finances, and it's supposed to be a game about, you know, creating your own property Monopoly. That's the whole point of the game. When you take the property part of it away, it also doesn't make the game Monopoly anymore.
That's right. You know, like, just call it another game and just say something for millennials, whatever, and not put it under that institution Monopoly.
Or you could also just not do that and just let millennials play Monopoly because it's closest, I guess, they're going to be able to buy property with anyway, right? So, you know, the whole point is that, you know, it's something that they're trying to appeal with, but it just comes across, to me anyway, as really patronizing. And I think they were attempting a very kind of like self-deprecating humor, and it just doesn't quite hit the mark here. And there are a lot of other products that like are trying to appeal to millennials and have kind of failed to, or the idea hasn't quite caught on. Like here, there's a UOB YOLO credit card.
Yes, we spoke about that. I only actually found out about that today
that existed, and I was like, does UOB know that YOLO was a hashtag about 3 years ago? But fine. And then also, you know, in the US anyway, there was a relaunch of Diet Coke, which was marketed towards millennials. So the specific quote by the man in charge of the brand refresh, Rafael Acevedo, I guess, says, "Millennials are now thirstier than ever for adventures and new experiences, and we want to be right by their side. We're contemporizing the Diet Coke brand and portfolio with sleek packaging and new flavors that are appealing to new audiences." And it's that kind of mentality. It's the kind of mentality that just because a generation of people are younger, like, they want, you know, all these gimmicks, you know, and all these, bright colors and like, oh, wow, avocados and stuff, right? So I find that quite annoying. I find that it really does infantilize us, you know, and infantilizes people. It's like, listen, if you want your younger consumers to buy stuff, just take them seriously. That's really all we ask.
Yeah. And I think that maybe one company that has nailed millennial marketing, for me, I would say it would be Netflix.
Yes, just absolutely.
Just because you don't even know that it's being marketed to you. I mean, they've gone strong on their on sharing. Like, you can share anything that you watch on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You do that with ease. So ease of use is another way that they've marketed
their
product.
Which is appeal to people.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, exclusive content. Everyone wants exclusive content, right? And of course, they also constantly upgrade their applications that makes, you know, once again, you know, the app easy to use, easy to share. So that is, I guess, a brilliant way to market not only to millennials, but to everyone.
Yeah,
right?
You know, as long as you make, you know, your product accessible and you know, it's a good product in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone will buy it. Like, you shouldn't have to be so demographically focused and try to appeal to such a specific idea.
Yeah. There was another idea that I found kind of interesting. You know, the Dollar Shave Club in the US?
Yes!
I think,
yes.
So they've actually formed a community. They've made you feel good about, you know, having these recyclable shavers delivered to your doorstep. So ease of use.
Yeah.
And it's cheap. And then you're part of a community. So that is a good way to market to millennials as well.
Audible.com as well is fantastic in marketing to, I guess, like millennials, because a lot of YouTubers, for example, are sponsored. Their videos are sponsored by Audible, where you get a code and you can, for example, exchange any book, no questions asked, if you don't really like it, you know, for free. And that's like, it's a really flexible model, and that really does appeal to millennials, and they're using the right influencers as well. And that's smart, right?
Yeah.
So instead of Monopoly for millennials, do something like that. Just be clever and just be good, please.
All right, you know, tell us what you think. Get involved in this conversation. Millennial marketing gimmicks, do they appeal to you? Do you find them annoying like Christine does? And also share with us your favorite millennial marketing gimmicks. Get in touch with us. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us, or get in touch with us on Insta Story at BFM Radio. We're going to take a quick break for some messages, but to take us into that break, here's The Bamboos and Megan Washington with Eliza. Enterprise Biz Bytes will be back in just a bit. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.